Hello, my name is J. Lewis Mills, for On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to lend me something. I need you to lend me your ear, and I need you to lend me your common sense. I need you to come join me. I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. It's about time that we let it all out. Join me. I want to hear from you. And hello there once again. This is J. Lewis Mills. You've got me on the level with J. Lewis Mills. How's everyone doing tonight? I hope you're doing well because we have a great show for you. Hope you all had a good week. This was my first full week back from being on vacation. And last week I had a bit of a work situation going on, so I wasn't able to be here live with you all, but we are here now. So I am very grateful for you. I am grateful and thank you very kindly for joining me tonight. We have a great show tonight. This is the first time I'm able to speak to someone that I am actually a full-fledged fan of. I started following her on Instagram, I'd say probably 4 or 5 months ago. Her posts are inspiring. Her pictures are amazing. You're asking, J. Lewis, who are you talking about? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. I am talking about the IFBB pro bodybuilder, fitness model, as well as inspirational and motivational woman that goes by the name of Miss Shauna Strong. As I said, I've been following Shauna on her Instagram page for the last several months. Very inspiring woman. I can't wait to get into this conversation. So without any further ado, thank you very kindly, Miss Shauna Strong, for joining me tonight. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, J. Lewis. I really am. I feel blessed to be on your show today and talk to your listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you. Now, there's a lot of things that I want to cover, but first, I would like for you to just give the listeners a bit of your background, other than the few little short things that I said. Who is Shauna Strong?
Well, let's see. I can go really extensive, but I'll give you a brief synopsis of my life. I am a professional bodybuilder, yes, but it doesn't define who I am. I'm a girl who really enjoys just being me and spreading that word out to others to be yourself as well. Like, you don't have to mimic someone to be popular. You don't have to you don't have to follow somebody else's lead. You don't have to have someone else paint you a picture of your life, what it should be. You got to follow your heart. And that's all about me and my drive and my want to reach out to others and just spread that message and empower people to just own yourself, own your vibe, because that's the only thing that's going to get you anywhere in life and give you that happiness that you're after. Yeah.
Okay. So, now, in reading your bio also, I read that you have 2 science degrees. May I please ask what your 2 degrees are in and what took you away from that world into the world of bodybuilding and nutrition that you currently flourish in now?
Right. I joined the military right out of high school, and they offer great degree programs, and so I got money for college. I traveled the world. I enjoyed my time in the military and just to get those leadership skills. But when I got out, I was like, what am I going to do with my life? I think we all ask ourselves that question. And I loved nutrition. I knew that. I loved working out. And where I was in Spokane, Washington, they didn't have like a college that offered a dietetics program. So I ended up getting a degree in community health education, which was very rewarding because there's a lot of, you get to study everything about health and the body and epidemiology and really, really cool in-depth stuff. But at the same time, I didn't feel like, okay, well, this is my end point. This is what I wanted. I wanted more, but I didn't know what it was. So I got my bachelor's degree and I ended up just doing bodybuilding competitions and being a personal trainer. And I was a dental assistant. I mean, I'd done a lot of different things. I landed a job as a fitness director in Phoenix, Arizona. So I moved down here, and I enjoyed that job. At the same time, I did not feel fulfilled. So I went to ASU and got my degree in dietetics. So I have a BS degree in that and nutrition. And you ask me now, this was probably 3 years ago, why haven't I chased that? My bodybuilding career has taken me in a different direction. So I have literally, I just was able to use my nutrition knowledge to reach out to other people and to provide programs to them. And to me, it's like, well, do you want to use your degree? Do you want to get your clinical certificate so I could be RD certified and work in a hospital? Or do I want to just, you know, work with people and use the gifts that I have as a trainer and use my nutrition knowledge that way to help people lose weight, gain muscle, things like that? And that to me has been more rewarding at this point in time. So whether or not I do more with it in the future, I'm not certain, but I'm enjoying the ride that I'm on right now. So.
Okay. Now, I was on a television show called Heartbeat, and it was right. About one of the top heart surgeons in the world, which just happens to be a female. I've always been somebody that believes in the empowerment of women and female empowerment. So can you explain, not really explain, but can you tell me and my listeners, in your current world of bodybuilding, how does female empowerment come into play as well? How do you help females understand, you know, having the body of a bodybuilder is still a good level? You can still have a good level of femininity as well.
Yeah, well, I can remember back in the day when I was working out in the gym before I started bodybuilding, I was wearing baggy clothes. I was trying to hide myself. I didn't want people to notice me in the gym because I didn't feel like I looked like I should go into the gym. And I think that's the biggest mistake that women, I mean, even some guys make too. It's not about other people looking at you when you go into the gym. It's how you feel about yourself. So it wasn't until, I mean, some of us can just change our minds and just say, okay, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go in the gym. I'm going to train. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. But most people, you think what other people think about them. So with women, that they belong training with heavy weights, that, you know, I just got to go in there and do cardio and then and burn calories. That's what women, you know, a lot of women are set on, when in fact, if you want to change your body and you want to change for the long term, you have to add muscle to your frame. Muscle is what gives your body sex appeal. And you can take it to whatever level that you feel is necessary. You don't have to be a bodybuilder. You're not going to get all huge by lifting weights, and that's a misconception. It takes a lot. You gotta eat like a bodybuilder. You gotta train heavy and hard and long and often. And if you're just trying to get in shape and tone your body, it's different. And it's not scary at all. I mean, it's just one of those things. You gotta feel like you gotta love yourself enough to want yourself to get in there and do it for you, to train for you, so you feel good in your clothes. When you feel in your, it's like you think about, how you feel when you get into a nice car. You feel like, wow, like look at how I feel. Look at me. I'm like on top of the world right now. It's like that when you wear clothes for the first time, when you start to feel like your body's changing. Then when you're on that mode, you got that motivation going, this momentum. Once that started, then it gets easier and easier and easier, and then you start feeling more confident. But that's the key, is like, is feeding your level of confidence. You can't let yourself beat yourself down and keep comparing yourself to others. You gotta own who you are and be happy with where you're at, and then, you know, keep making small steps, small goals. And as a bodybuilder, I ask this question: being a woman with more than the average woman, we'll just put it that way. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's taken a lot of confidence and a lot of steps to get to where I'm at. I mean, years. I've been doing this for 14 years. That's a long time. But I stopped. I allowed that momentum to continue. Knew that this made me feel good. And it didn't matter if I got negative comments, people looked at me weird, or I got over that. You know why? Because I'm doing what wow. I love and what I'm passionate about. That is the most important thing you can get out of life. Following your dream. Feeling good in your own skin.
Going along with that, you mentioned motivation. Now, you know, I'm sure some of my listeners can say, you know, yeah, beginning of the year, I go and get that gym membership, and I want to do it, but I just can't stay motivated. I just don't have the inspiration. You just, Shauna, said that you've been doing this for 14 years. So if you could just talk a little bit about where you have to go to find that motivation, to find that inspiration, and how have you been able to drive yourself for the last 14 years to continue at, you know, doing what you're doing. What you're doing is not easy. I applaud you and have so much respect for you. So where does that motivation and inspiration come from someone that has found the high level of success that you have found?
One thing is choosing your role models, choosing someone to follow that inspires you. That's one thing that I did. And I chose several, and it didn't even, some of them bodybuilders, some would initiate people that motivated me just mentally. Because you can go on YouTube, you can look up motivational whatever, and there's so many platforms for just little, like 10, 15 minute snippets. I mean, Conor McGregor has one on the law of attraction. You got one, Tony Robbins. I have a lot of Les Brown. There's so many people out there that are able to tap into that spot in your brain that tells you to get your butt moving. And you have to practice that every day. Not only do you have to plan, like you got to wake up in the morning and knowing you're going to start your day with something, whether it's making your bed, you got emails to write, whatever it is, make a plan. But when I get up in the morning, if I'm serious and I'm working towards a competition, I know I have a goal to work towards. I'm going to get up. Yes. I'm going to do my fasted cardio. I got that done and out of the way. Guess what? I've got oxygen to my brain. I have energy. When you start your day off with energy, you feel amazing. And I feel like how you start your day is how the rest of your day is going to go. And any motivational speaker will tell you that as well. It's just, you have to plan accordingly. If you're going to get in shape, it's a lifestyle change. You have to have the right meal available to you. So if you got nothing planned for the day and all you have is fast food around you, guess what? You're not going to stick to your program. Or if you're tired, you work all day long, you go to work, and you come home, and the first thing you do is, like, plop on the couch, you won't turn on the TV, guess what? You're probably not going to hit the gym. So take your clothes with you to work, you know? So there's just little tips and tricks that you can get just to get yourself to stay on track. That is one big thing with motivation, is just planning. The other is just drive. So your want and desire to get there, to get in shape, what is it that makes you want to get shape? Is it health for your family? Is it health for yourself? Did the doctor tell you you're going to, you know, you have diabetes, and so, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to get your leg chopped off. I mean, there's so many things that can live with, and unfortunately, a lot of people will wait until somebody says there's something wrong with you, and then they get it going. Don't wait till that happens. You know, honor your body. Love yourself first. Take the time, because it's an investment. Just like you invest in money and everything else, your family, invest in your body, because without that, your mind isn't going to work properly. Your mind works so much better when you take care of it. When you exercise, when you eat clean, it really does. And you just perform like a you know, Ferrari versus a Pinto. That's where you want to be. I remember those.
That's what my next question was going to be to you. Now, anybody that sees you, that goes and will, you know, Google you after our conversation, or anyone that knows you now, you can look at Shauna Strong and tell, you know, that visually what you're doing is working for you. So my question is, we can see the physical, but how has your lifestyle that you lead, keeping your body as fit as you do, how has that helped your mental state? Do you, what are the biggest things that you noticed from, I know it was 14 years ago, but what are the biggest things you noticed from then to now, as far as how much more mentally healthy you are?
Oh man. Well, it's hard to gauge that really. Because I mean, I had a lot of growing up to do in those years.
Yeah.
And I've traveled a lot and since then, so it has opened up more opportunities for me, but also it's, you have to take care of your mind with education as well, like that I've done along the way, as well as keeping my body healthy. So when I was eating healthy and going to college, I'm sure it really helped me, because I wasn't getting brain drain from all the sugar, right? So there's a lot of sugar that people stay up on when they're going to school, and caffeine, like a lot of people are hooked on caffeine. Well, you know, you can wear down your adrenal glands by taking a lot of pre-workouts, a lot of caffeine, like all these things that keep you up so you can stay awake. Guess what? The formula for that is getting enough sleep, but eating clean, like keeping, I like to keep a gluten-free diet. That works best for me. I don't just do high protein and low carbohydrates. I do incorporate carbs, but I just try to stay away from the sugars, because that's the stuff that just kind of, you know, bogs you down. But, you know, sleep is important with your training. It's you got to give your body rest and recovery, just like your brain. Your brain rests while you sleep. It reboots. You know, all that negativity is gone. So if you're a person that has high stress, and you're always around, you're always like angry, or have things that are depressing you, or you're around people that are just bogging you down because they got issues and problems, like you're gonna be low energy from that too. So you got to think about all these things that are happening in your life, and incorporate that in your health program, like your whole life program. You have to clean up your life, period, and that's going to give you more energy. Keep it positive.
Okay. What is a typical, now we all know that you compete in competitions, but I also understand and know that you work out whether you have a competition or not. So can you just walk us through, and I mean, if it takes a minute, so be it. People need to hear it as far as I'm concerned, but can you walk us through a Shauna Strong workout, competition as well as non-competition?
Sure. When I'm preparing for a competition, you know, I usually choose around 14 to 16 weeks. As I've gotten older, I've needed more time, I've noticed. But 16 to 20 weeks is around where I like to start cleaning up my diet And then I start doing some cardio around 12 to 10 weeks. It just depends on how much weight I put on in the off season. So, for example, this year I started out at 170 pounds. If you were to look at my pictures, you'd see, oh, she's thick. You can't really see definition. So what I'm trying to do is, all right, I'm going to harden up my muscles. I'm going to pull out my definition. And the way to do that is to do cardio, a fasted cardio in the morning. And I only do like 20, maybe 30 minutes to start. If I need more as I get closer to the show to lose more fat, then I'll incorporate more. But cardio is an important factor. Your diet is an important factor. You know, keeping it clean. And then I do, let's see, in the gym, I'm going maybe an hour and a half for my training routine. And you're, depending on what I'm doing, like sometimes I'll do one or two body parts. And then as I get closer to the show, about 6 weeks out, then I'll incorporate maybe three body parts a day. I might even train twice a day in the gym with weights. But the intensity gets more increased as time goes on and on, because I want to go more from slow, low rep movements to higher rep movements, because you think of your body when you're trying to get definition. Look at gymnasts. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of static holding, and you see that they have a lot of like striations. That's from that alone. Like, they're burning a lot of calories, but they also have static holding, which brings out those striations. It gets all those axillary muscles conditioned, and that's what you're trying to do as a bodybuilder. You want to pull out every little tiny muscle, all those little ones that you don't work. You know, when you're doing a lat pull down, that primarily gets the big back, you know, all the back muscles. But then you have little tiny ones that you need to pull out doing smaller movements with dumbbells, doing different angles. Yeah, so that's how it changes over, you know, from an off-season workout program where I'm doing like one body part a day. I might, you know, I have more rest in between. I'm more lax about it. Maybe 4 or 5 days a week I'll train. But then when I get ready for competition, it's 6 days a week, one day of rest, and, you know, it's game on twice a day.
And, okay, let's also say that while you're working out, you don't even have to be working out, because, you know, you can, as you said, whether you're doing your competition or not, you can definitely tell that you stay fit. So what do younger women, or what do girls say to you, or how do they respond to you when they see you, like in a store or just walking out? Do you have young girls or women come up to you and ask you questions about what you do, or even just so blatant as to how they can look like you?
Yeah, you know, this is a great question, because it happens like all the time. And especially living in Arizona, you know, I don't wear that many clothes. I wear shorts and tank tops constantly, because I like being, you know, I like the air hitting my skin. So I'm always exposing my body. And so, yeah, I mean, it invites other people to stare at you. And when I'm in a grocery store today, I was in a coffee shop working, and this gal came up to me, and she said, oh, my God, she didn't know what to say. And people are usually pretty nervous when they come up and start talking to me. They don't know how I'm going to respond to them. But I always respond with a smile, because I think it's awesome that someone has the courage to come up and say, really like what you've done with your body. You know, I want to look like that. That's the first thing that they say. And that the second thing is, now I have this body part, how do I get this tone? So they immediately go to their problem spot and ask me a question. And the thing is like, there's no short answer for it. There's nothing I can tell you in 5 minutes, you know, how you can transform your body, because you have to have patience. It takes years. And then it's like, it's not just something you do short term, you get in shape and then you're done. I mean, you got to keep it up. You got to keep it going. So depending on how you want to look and what you want to maintain and what are your reasons for doing it, you know, that's the one thing that I tell people, like, you want to look like me, but what are your reasons? You know, is it for you? Is it to be healthy? Is it because you want other people to notice you? I mean, what is it? You got to know what your reason is, because that's going to be another empowering factor towards you getting to your goal and maintaining it.
Is there any reason that what you just said just kind of brings up an interesting question, I think. If somebody were to, and I'm not even going to waste time trying to sit here thinking of a very vain reason to work out, but is there a reason, or has there ever been a reason somebody gave you for why they wanted to work out and you were like, you know what, I'm good. I don't even know what to say to you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, someone wanted me to train them to compete, and I told them I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't put them on stage, and they asked me why, and I said, because you won't be happy anyway with your end result, because they were trying to rush something they weren't ready for. They just wanted to get up there and belong and fit into something and prove to other people that they could do something. But it was also kind of like it was a vanity thing, like you said. Like, I wanted to belong. And what happens is, when you're competing, you get up on stage, you're getting judged against, you know, with other judges. They're looking at you, and they're placing you against other people. So if you get placed last, you're going to feel like crap, like literally.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel good about yourself, and then you just beat yourself up over what you displaced, because you got to be mentally prepared for that, and this person was not. So I look at, like, again, their reasons, like, why do you want to do this? Because that is important. And you could be the most motivated person in the world and try your, you know, and work your ass off. But I feel like it really has to be in your heart and soul for you to really, like, honor the sport of bodybuilding or a fitness or figure or whatever, getting on stage. You know, that's a whole nother ball of wax. Somebody just getting in shape, That's completely different. If you want to show, you know, oh, I want to show my ex-husband that, you know, look, I am good enough, or my ex-wife, you know, I want to show him that I am attractive. Good, that's fine. Yeah, I'll help you. I don't mind that. But I really take, you know, getting on stage, I take that to heart. I take that personally, because to me, it's like an artist. I'm not going to do a half-assed job and get, you know, and then sell it. I'm not going to do that. I have to say, I
kind of agree with you there. And I mean, I haven't turned down a lot of people that have wanted me to coach them as far as acting is concerned. But I have asked people what their motivations were. And of course, no names need to be spoken. But there was someone that came to me that said they wanted to be an actor because they were sick of getting turned down by chicks. So they knew that if they became a famous actor, a woman wouldn't have a choice to turn him down or not. And I mean, I literally sat there for almost a minute and just looked at him, because I thought he was joking. I thought he was going to say, you know, I'm just joking, but he was very serious. So, you know, I 100% understand where you're coming from when you say there are people that you have said, because it's not about the money. It's about the integrity that the person has for your industry and what you love. So I get that, and I respect that. You also said that, you know, if you would have trained said person and she would have gotten last, she would have been beating herself up. How do you stop from doing that? I don't know how many competitions you've been in, but does it, I guess this is another two-part question. Number one, how do you handle it? And with experience and with having the experience of being there before, does it make it easier to deal with now versus when you first started? When you're in a competition and you don't place first,
right.
When you first started out, I'm pretty sure that you took that more difficult, or maybe you didn't take it more difficult then than you do now. So when you personally don't place where you want or thought you should place, how do you not beat yourself up about that?
Well, you still beat yourself up a little bit over that. And I can tell you, is easier to get over it because you're used to having to make adjustments. So you kind of just look at it as, you know, this is the life stuff. I've been doing it for a long time, and I do it for the love of the sport. So there's people out there that puts too much of their focus on, you know, winning the end game. Like, if I don't win, then I'm totally destroyed. I don't think of it that way. I think of it as a growing process, just with anything. Like, if there's someone that does better than me, I'm happy.
Caller on line three.
But at the same time, I do reevaluate. I'm like, okay, so let me go to the judge and find out, what do I need to do? Well, if the judge doesn't, they don't remember me, or, you know, there's other people that are telling me different things, you can get, really muddied up by that. So I just kind of go back inside myself and think, okay, look at your pictures. What is it you could have done better? Could you have worked harder at your posing? So I do look at what I can do to change to become better. So I focus my attention on that, not on the failures, because when you just focus on failures, you get stuck there. So you just look at things as a perspective, reason to grow.
Okay. It seems as though we have a call for you, Shauna. It's from Deborah. Hi, Ooh. Deborah.
Hi.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Shauna. I just want to, as I'm listening, you're just so inspiring, and I just admire your tenacity. And it's so hard for women as it is, they have these negative body issues and whatnot, but you're just a great example. And I can hear the strength in your voice, and, you're obviously very feminine as well. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing this with us. But I did have a couple questions.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you very much for calling in. Let me know what they are. I'm happy to answer.
Okay, well, I know that planning meals is daunting for me. Like, when you're working and you're on the go and you're working out, can you give some tips to people on how to do good meal planning in that kind of capacity? Like, how much do you eat? What, do you measure it out? Do you put it in containers, a week ahead of time? Or, I know you mentioned that you do that for yourself, but it's a daunting thing to have to plan.
You're absolutely right, Deborah, that, if you're a busy professional and you got a family life too, it does create a little obstacle there. But yeah, most of us, what we do is we pick one or two days a week and we pre-make our meals and we put them in containers. And just like you said, we weigh it out, the portions, but we know exactly what our bodies need. So to me, it's just making sure that you're getting in at least three good healthy meals a day. Take a couple of meal replacements like whey protein powder and bars. There's like a ton of things out there you can use. I don't like to rely on bars so much, but when you're a busy person, it really does help. But there are also meal planning businesses out there. There's more and more popping up in every city, I'm noticing. They'll do meal prep for you. You just call and they deliver it to you. So that's another option. But if you're somebody who's traveling, I always tell people, go to a grocery store. Stay in a hotel that has a refrigerator and a microwave where you can go to the grocery store and pick out things that are easily, easy to make. Like, you stick to your complex carbohydrates. So don't stay away from sugar. Stay away from bread. Stay away from things like that. The sticky carbohydrates aren't the greatest. But stick to things like grains, like oats, and there's rice. Stick to those for carbs, and potatoes, and go through a list. Like, there's a ton of websites. Like, I have a website where, I will do meal planning for people and will help you, like, get on track. But there's, like, food lists that are important to look at. Like, here are my options. And then you mix and match your options, because nobody likes eating the same thing day after day. Nobody likes eating chicken for three meals a day. That's boring. I like to mix it up. So I pick out my lean meat, and I put them in at least three of my meals. And if you're a vegetarian, there's vegetarian options too. It's just, there's no easy way around it. You've got to put the time into planning and preparing the food. Otherwise, you gotta buy it from somebody that's gonna pre-make it for you and deliver it. Did that help you?
Which would be expensive. Yes, it does. It does. It inspires me to do more of that. It's just sometimes when you are lacking time, you just grab whatever's out there.
Exactly.
Can I ask
you, gotta be
you
creative.
Deborah? I'm sorry, Shauna. Can I ask you, Deborah? Do you work out now? Do you have any type of a workout regimen that you do?
I did. I did have a workout regimen. I sort of dropped it for the last couple of months. I hurt my knee. I used to do ballroom dancing, and then I do Zumba. I enjoy kind of dance aerobic kind of things, and just light weights in class.
Okay. Is there anything, Shauna, that you can? She's, you know, that's what she used to do. She hurt herself. Is there anything that you can tell her she could possibly do to keep up some type of workout?
Yeah, of course there are options. And if you're near a pool, you know, there's pool activities that you can do that you can still get a good activity in with resistance training and cardio. So I would stay moving with something like that, or you could do Pilates. Pilates is great. If you have a Pilates studio around you, or just get even CDs you can get. I mean, it's so easy to find a workout on something, even if you're really resourceful. But that is one thing that would help to keep your core in shape and keep your body moving. But you really need to rehabilitate that knee. And there's, you know, I don't know if you've used physical therapy, but, you know, they'll give you probably the best options for exercises.
Yes, I've done really well with the physical therapy. I just sort of re-injured it by accident, so I've been resting it. And it's, you know, and once you get out of your exercise routine, it's really easy to stay out of it. I've noticed for myself, at least, and I think for other people too. And then once you get back in, it becomes another habit that you make as a positive habit. So
absolutely right. I forgot to mention that yoga is a really good option too. But yeah, if you can just find something that you know, it's fun to just try something different.
Did Shauna answer your questions for you?
She definitely did. I probably need to research, you know, how to divide the meals more and how to weigh it out. I do have a scale here, but it, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it gets a little boring to eat the same thing. So, yeah, I guess I just need to explore on that level.
Well, cool. Well, I thank you very kindly, Deborah, for your question. Did you have anything else for Shauna?
No, I want to say I'm looking at your Facebook page, Shauna, and you all your pictures are just wonderful. Just thank you so much for being an inspiration to all women.
Oh, wow, Deborah. Thank you. I really appreciate you acknowledging it as an inspiration, because that's important to me, that you're getting something from what I'm putting out. So keep trying hard. I mean, just keep planning, trying hard. Keep your goals set in front of you so you know exactly what you're working towards. And just love yourself. Just honor yourself. That's the most important thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, and best of luck to you.
Bye. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah. So, Shauna, how does that make you feel when someone calls, and whether they call or whether they walk up to you and just tells you how much of an inspiration you are? And as she said, she's looking at your Facebook pictures, and, I mean, you do look amazing. Not trying to be creepy, but you do look amazing. So how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm set out to do. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to inspire people. I'm doing my part. And it makes me feel extreme gratitude and just appreciation. Like, it makes you love people more. I mean, it really does, because anytime you feel acknowledged for what you do, it's going to make you feel good. We all love compliments. We all love to know that we're doing something positive And that's the whole goal behind what I'm doing. It's not to look like a man. It's not to be stronger than a man. It's not to outshine other people. I just want to show others that you can choose, regardless of societal prescriptions, you can choose what you want to be and who you want to be and what you want to do with yourself. It's you. It's your body. It's your life. You take control of it, and you make the best of it.
I love that. I love that. Now, I'm not going to stay on this topic a lot, but I just kind of want to touch it a little bit. I'm pretty confident that you have a... I'm pretty confident that you have a large male following. Is that a safe bet?
Yes, it is safe to say that.
Okay. In having a safe, in having a large male following, is it hard to date, in a sense?
Well, there is one side of it. It's kind of trusting others' intentions. Like, are they after the superficial you, or are they after, you know, you, that the soul part of yourself, or, you know, both?
I'm glad you understood my question, because that's what I was trying to ask.
Okay, good. Yeah, because initially a lot of my followers, you know, and fans that are males, you know, they might have some, there might be some that genuinely are attracted to the hard work and dedication that I put into, you know, they like my drive. They find that very attractive. And then there's the guys who just look at the body and they think, oh, wow, that's different. And yeah, that really turns me on. I like that. There are those people out there too. And there are those that like the whole package. And that's, you know, literally that's what I like. I like, you know, someone who likes the whole package, of course. You know, I will know right off the bat if that's not what you're about. So, you know, I've been exposed to enough that I know who is genuine in their intentions and who are not, you know. So, and as with you being an actor too, and being in that Hollywood crowd, you know, you also have to like look to see what others' intentions are with you. You know, do they like you just because you are, you know, an actor in Hollywood? Like, you know, there's so many things that once you get to a certain, I guess, status, You gotta kind of watch your back.
Yes. Now, if there was a Mr. Strong, does he have to be a bodybuilder as well, or would you find an attraction to someone that was not a bodybuilder? This is not a loaded question. That is not a bodybuilder, but still appreciates you for you. Would you have to have a partner that was a bodybuilder as well?
No, that's definitely not that's not a requirement. And I can tell you it's hard enough for one person to be a bodybuilder because of, you know, the regimen you go through. But, you know, as long as, you know, for me the brain is like the most important muscle, and somebody who takes care of themselves is definitely important. You know, you don't have to be perfect. Nobody has to be perfect. Be my friend, be my boyfriend, whatever. You just gotta take care of yourself. And when you respect yourself, that means you can respect me more. You know, don't look to me to fix you. And that's never what I want, you know, in a partner.
Okay.
I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, that is true. And I thank you for taking that little walk down personal lane with me. We can go ahead and move off of that.
Okay.
I would like to know a little more. It seems like it's our hour is almost up, but I'm not really looking at the time. I would like to know a little bit about what exactly Team Strong is. And if you could tell me how Team Strong even came about and where Team Strong is today.
You bet. Initially, I started Team Strong because I wanted to create a movement. But the word Team Strong was like, okay, well, you're somebody who trains under Team Strong, so I think there's a lot of misconception with that name. I wanted people who empowered each other to be a part of a movement. And it's not something I'm trying to make money off of or anything. It's something I created to create awareness in others, just to support each other and encourage each other and love each other, no matter where you came from or what you look like. So it's still in the evolution process. It's still growing. But right now I use it as a platform to gain business. If people want nutrition programs and fitness programs, I'm love to do them. Whether you're in another country or you're here, or you met my next door neighbor, you know, I can do them from afar. So you can get help from someone who knows what they're doing and passionate about it and pay for a program and be happy with it. But I didn't want it to be so expensive that the average person couldn't afford it, because, you know, I want to reach as many people as possible. Some people are out there to, you know, get rich and you know, just take somebody's money and give them a program. That's not what I am. It's about really empowering somebody and giving them the tools that they need to succeed. And that's what, you know, Team Strong is founded on.
And how long has Team Strong been in inception, and how far is its reach at this point? Meaning, are there Team Strong members in countries outside of the U.S. that you know of? And if so, what countries would those be?
Yeah, not at this point. I haven't expanded it outside the U.S. You know, anybody who wants to be like a trainer for Team Strong and be part of the movement can be, and we'll come up with some kind of a relationship with that, financial relationship and stuff. But there's a lot to be done still with the entity. And yeah, I would love to have someone with business sense to come in and say, I see what you got going, and let's build this. Because that's one thing that I'm lacking, is, you know, really a strong business sense. So, you know, right now I'm just here for people to see who I am, what I got to offer. But I do want to grow it. I want to grow it bigger. And, you know, I have a vision to put out a book with even videos, like a platform, a training platform. So that's something that I've really logged out. Things, you know, take time and also takes funding to get moving. And, you know, with having a website and reaching people, website maintenance and social media is costly. It's really insanely costly. You can pay up to $4,000 a month or more for someone to manage your social media. So, you know, when you're trying to get a business going, you don't have any funding for it. You got to take baby steps and just, you know, expand as fast as you hope you can.
Absolutely. And whatever information, whatever websites, whatever links or anything like that, once we're done here, I will make sure I give you an email address. Anything you would like for me to put up on my show page, that you would like to promote, anything at all, pictures, whatever it is, just make sure you get it to me, or I'm going to give you my station manager's email address. Just make sure you get anything to him, and we will make sure that it gets put up and promoted for you. And you never know, there could be somebody with a business sense that is listening to our show right now that would love to partner with you. So just putting it out there, I think, you know, you involve yourself in such a clean universe that if you just put something out there, I'm pretty sure it'll take hold. So I'm pretty excited to see where Team Strong does go in the near future, as well as the distant future. What's coming up for Shauna Strong? Do you have any events, any dates, anything coming up?
As far as like bodybuilding shows, it's on suspension. Like, we're done until there's only one final show that's happening, but I'm not competing in that. That will be in September in Phoenix, Arizona, the Wings of Strength Rising Phoenix Championships. And that, that took actually the place of the Miss Olympia. So now, you know, that's something that we're fighting a cause to keep female bodybuilding present right now in society, because, you know, there's people that don't want to see it continue. So that's a whole nother struggle that needs to be known.
I mean, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't do enough research. I didn't know. So what exactly do you mean? Because, well, what exactly do you mean?
Well, first of all, women's bodybuilding is, it's one of those things where they said it's gone too far. Like, the women have gone too far with how they look. Like, they look too big. They look too masculine. People don't want to see that. And so they stopped featuring women bodybuilders in magazines, and they started promoting more of the bikini-looking women, because they wanted magazines to sell to people on things that were more achievable, you see. And so, like I said, you can take something to a limit of how far you want to go. You don't have to take yourself to the limit of some of the girls where they were going, but the judges were rewarding the bigger, the more shredded, you know, the better the prize. So that's what they were rewarding. And they said, well, that's not achievable, so we're going to just kick you guys to the curb, remove your category. So all the girls that turn pro, you know, basically you don't have anywhere to compete anymore. So we had a private investor come in, Wings of Strength, Jake Woods, and he came in and he said, you know what, this is bullshit. We're going to keep women's bodybuilding. I'm going to give you guys the money, the prize money. I'm going to give you a show. So they give us around 5 shows a year and to compete in. It's spread out from May to August in different parts of the states. And then they have a finals, which used to be Miss Olympia, which went on for, I think, 27 years in Las Vegas, Nevada. And a couple years ago, they quit having it. And they basically said, you guys got to find your own finals. And so Jake came in. He said, you know, I'm going to give you the biggest and best prize you guys ever had, you know, $100,000. And they give you a customized Jeep. Like, they never gave us that when we had Miss Olympia for all the years we had. This is like, basically, they're trying to revive women's bodybuilding. But more, I think, because they took it out of media, people don't know that it exists. And it's great for me to be on your show, because I think people need to know that, yeah, women like us, we're still here. We still have something we're passionate about. You know, there's a lot of girls that don't compete that are bodybuilders, too, that don't get any attention. I get attention because I do shows and I get photographers taking pictures. And, you know, there's even fetish websites out there that want pictures and they put it on their site. You know, so that's the reason why people know we're around. But we need to let people know that, you know, we can inspire other people, you know, to go farther than where you want to go. You don't have to, you know, be settle for average. If you want to go farther than average, we'll help you. Right? So where I'm going now, to finish your question. So part of my journey is letting people know that, yeah, I'm still here and I'm empowering you to go the distance however far you want to go. I'll take you there. But if you want to just, you know, be bikini ready, you can. I'm actually going to do it's like a hybrid bodybuilding and powerlifting competition in September during the Mr. Olympia, which is the biggest competition of the year for bodybuilding. I don't know if you know about that. But that's in Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay. Well, there's a gym called City Athletic Club. The owner is Jay Jung. He's he owns the club, but he partnered with Dorian Yates, which, you know, he was Mr. Olympia many years ago, but he was like one of the biggest and most symmetrical bodybuilders to date. And they've actually created a new sport called the Super League. So it's called superleague.life. That's their website. But it's basically taking a person who's in shape. You don't have to be competition ripped. You're not flexing against other competitors. but you got to show your strength against other competitors. You got to do 12 reps on a certain exercise, and then you got to also have like a perfectly symmetrical, like a symmetrical physique, because you get more points. The more symmetrical you are, the more points you get, and the more weight you lift for 12 reps, the more points you get. So, yeah, it's something that you got to, you know, go to the website and find out more about. It's still in its growing stages, but right now they have a USA versus Brazil coming up during the Mr. Olympia, and that's going to be at City Athletic Club. But during that event, actually, I'm going to be doing a gym against gym. So Metroflex Gym Phoenix will be competing against Venice Beach Gold Gym, and then possibly Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Dallas Metroflex might get involved. That's Ronnie Coleman's gym, right? So, yeah, so there's going to be, like, it's just using this equipment at this club. Like, we might be going head-to-head, and they'll be filming it. So it's pretty exciting to kind of be part of a new movement where they're embracing people who want to be strong. You don't have to be a bodybuilder. You don't have to be, like, there's girls of all sizes that are competing and guys of all sizes that are competing in this event, but it's showing that they're strong and they're in shape. You know, that's the beauty of it. It's kind of like a league of superheroes is what they're trying to, you know, they're molding. So it's pretty awesome.
Is this a week long event?
No, it starts on Friday is the gym against gym competition. And then Saturday is, they're super leaguers that are already pros in the Super League. They're going against, USA, Team USA versus Team Brazil. So what's cool about that is the Team USA will be here competing, and they have a gym, an arena in Brazil of the same equipment. So they'll be filming in Brazil. So because all of the numbers are calculated by a computer. So you measure each person's physique and using this computerized system, and then each, you know, movement is calculated as well that they do. So there's no cheating involved against the competitors or favoritism.
Okay. The reason I was asking if it was a week-long event, because I was going to possibly see about coming down and doing my show live from the event on a Wednesday, if it was happening on a Wednesday. So that's why I was asking.
Oh, darn, yeah. No, it starts on Friday.
But it does sound like something that I am definitely going to try and attend. The whole USA versus Brazil, the whole club versus club, and then also this Super League, that sounds like something that I would want to get into. I can't necessarily say that I have, like, good personal friends that are bodybuilders, but back in 2000, I met my first bodybuilder. It was Chris Cormier. Does that name sound familiar?
Oh, yeah, he's a friend. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I met him and was, you know, blessed enough to be able to spend time with him and some of my friends in his home. So ever since meeting him and also meeting Flex Wheeler, I've kind of had I've watched bodybuilding from a distance, but this event that you are talking about now definitely sounds like something I want to come to. So I'm pretty much already there.
It's way more exciting to watch as an outsider, because you're watching athletic performance and you're looking at beautiful physiques at the same time. So it's not just watching, you know, this guy come up the stage, flex and pose and move on, and the other guy doing the same thing. So it's showing that, hey, yeah, you've got a great physique and you can perform, you know, you can show how strong your body looks. Whereas there's weak bodybuilders out there, people who can't lift a thing, you know, that look really good. So I think that's like the whole draw behind creating this new league, you know, is just to, you know, bring sport back into aesthetics.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I absolutely thank you, Shauna, for joining me tonight. Where can people find you on social media?
It's pretty simple. if you just put at Shauna Strong, S-H-A-W-N-A, Strong, and you go on Instagram, that's where you can find me. And my website actually will have my social media links on it. Officialteamstrong.com is my website. Twitter, at BodySculpt3AZ. So I've kind of got, I've got a lot of accounts, maybe some different names, but I try to spread it out.
Okay, and like I said, and after we're done here, I'm going to give you an email address, and as I said, anything that you want to put up. And also, if there's anything that you can think of that On the Level can do to help promote or advance you or the sport of female bodybuilding, please don't hesitate to contact me, and I more than likely will agree and say yes.
Oh, man, that's really fantastic. It's great to have this kind of support. I really appreciate it, and all the listeners who've listened to our show, and I thank you so much for being a part of this and really honoring what we are talking about today. So thank you, J. Lewis Mills, for reaching out to me and having me on your show.
Absolutely. Thank you very kindly. Well, thank you all so much for joining Shauna and myself tonight. You know, I always like to end my show with a last little word. And tonight, my words for you are, I really hope you listen to what Ms. Strong had to say. This is somebody that has worked phenomenally for the last 14 years in something that she loves. As you heard in the beginning of our conversation, she has degrees, college degrees. She could have done something else, but she is one of those people that kept with the sacrifice, that did sacrifice for what she loved. And that's the point of my show. If you notice, when you listen to my show, you don't hear any commercials. That's because I don't have any sponsors. That's because I'm not doing this for money. Just like Ms. Strong said, she's not doing what she's doing for money. It's just to help people and bring awareness. That is the same exact reason why On the Level with J. Lewis Mills is on this station. And that's why On the Level with J. Lewis Mills is going to stay on this station. You might not like every show. I said this before. Some shows are going to be more controversial than others. Take, for instance, next week. But I just want you to listen to what me, if I'm by myself, just please listen to what I am saying. You don't have to agree with me, but I just want you to understand. So again, thank you, Ms. Strong. Thank you, Doug, for everything that you do for me every week. One day, Bud, you're going to be the person I interview, because I've had a couple of people send me messages. Who is Doug? Who is Doug you're talking about? So one day I'm going to have Doug come on and say hello to you all. But until next week, I just want you all to stay motivated. I just want you to stay inspired. Love each other. Love yourselves. We have to do it ourselves. We can't go and ask somebody else who we should like, who we should listen to. We need to start doing this for ourselves. This is J. Lewis Mills. I hope I put you on a level tonight. We are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.